We're not talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. Hope everybody had a good weekend. I wasn't too busy, but I had a good weekend. Played a little golf, worked some cattle, a little wet to finish up my hay crop. Going to do that today when I get done off work. Head down south and got about 15, 16 acres left to swath. And we had a frost. Looks like we had a frost in some areas on Saturday morning. Hope nobody got anything damaged, the crops that weren't out of the field. But anyway, it's that time of the year. I can't believe it's the 18th of October and it's still green. The leaves are still green. They're still on the tree. There's trees. They're starting to turn a little bit, but got me deer blind put up. Put up a trail camera yesterday, cell phone trail camera yesterday morning, and 30 minutes after I put it up, action's already started. But anyway, I like to bow hunt, so it's cooling down now that I'm going to go and not fight the bugs. This weekend was the Oklahoma Youth Deer Weekend, Hunt Weekend, and looking at social media, there was some kids out there shot some really nice deer this weekend, and congratulations to all you guys in our listening area that either your kids or the kids listening that got them a good one, bagged them a good one. Congratulations. I seen some social media last night out there at Willow Ridge Ranch. Looks like those Carter boys kicked some butt on the deer this weekend. Man, them were some big ones. Congratulations. And currently the weather right now is 67 degrees. Nathan Brewer dew point is 42. The wind is out of the south at 16 miles an hour, gusting up to 22 miles an hour. A little breezy out there today. And I will have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger on in the last segment of this hour. So don't go nowhere. Listen for that Long Ranger. Lacey will be back with us tomorrow. Give us her forecast and see how things in her lifestyle is going. So anyway, it'll be good. Oklahoma current cash grain prices right now are wheat's hard red winter wheat is $7.05 a bushel. Corn's at $5.24. Milo's at $5.24, and soybeans are at $11.58. Soybean futures were lower in overnight trading after a soybean group said September use fell to the lowest level in 3 months. Grains were little changed. The National Oilseed Processors Association said in its report last Friday that crush dropped to 153.8 million bushels last month, from 158.8 million in August. That's the lowest crush level since June. Analysts were expecting crush levels at 155.1 million, so they missed her by a couple million. Overseas demand for the U.S. agriculture products has been robust in recent days. Exporters reported separate sales of 396,000 metric tons and 326,750 metric tons to unnamed countries and 132,000 metric tons of U.S. soybeans to China. The Department of Agriculture had in its report late Friday. That follows report sales of 132,000 metric tons to unknown destinations on Thursday plus 330,000 tons to China. Soybean and corn prices didn't respond positively to the USDA's crop production and WASDE reports last week. The tune changed later in the week as prices turned on positive demand news. On Friday, the USDA confirmed 132,000 metric tons of soybeans was sold to China. The news was a starting point for one University of Missouri economist who says sales to China has slipped compared to this time last year, something the USDA took in consideration for the October reports this week. The question was really on the demand side, specifically to soybeans. Ben Brown said he said during the 2021 College Roadshow, we had a hurricane hit some of our Gulf ports, and that's really slowed down our export inspections. We had a good week getting back up a little bit closer to speed, but when we look at the overall commitments, both sales and what has left the country on the soybean side, we are down 37% from where we were last year, and that's a lot. As the soybean market tried to recover from the double-digit losses it faced after the report, cotton prices have been gaining strength this fall. This has happened against the fundamentals. Texas A&M agriculture economist Joe Outlaw told, "So I expect this to be kind of short-lived, and producers don't want to hear it. But I'm far enough from home, I can actually see these things. The fact of the matter is they need to be looking at marketing some of their crop at this price right now." As price and weather are typically the final determining factors in the acreage debate this season, input prices and availability may have the final say. I think expectations are going to matter a lot here, and if folks really think they're going to get soybeans in the ground, and does that push soybean prices down relative to corn? So even with high input costs, perhaps we're going to find producers who are going to try to stay with that rotation. The supply chain issues are having a direct hit on input availability. Farmers trying to lock in just to face with higher prices. Some retailers also having trouble sourcing enough product. As the black swan events continue to cripple the fertilizer industry and the chemical industry, fertilizer prices are reaching record highs, and so are chemical prices. And the issues of both price and availability are weighing on farmers when they try to source key inputs across the board. And it is crazy what's going on out there with them fertilizer prices. But anyway, he says the availability point is what I'm emphasizing, Brown said, because when we look at prices, soybean prices have fallen 70 cents since the start of the marketing year and $1.40 in the last couple months. And so that's why I'm sitting here saying I'm not exactly sure if soybeans are going to give up that much acreage to corn, at least at this current point. But if we can't source nitrogen for whatever reason, you know that really starts to impact that and hinder that. While growers in the South may turn to more cotton, wheat, or sorghum crops, if inputs are a problem to price and soar, it's a key thing to remember one thing. Farmers in the Midwest love to plant corn. When you look at all these types of things, usually you say, what's the highest cost of production? And what crops have all these input costs? It's cotton, rice, and corn. Them are your highest ones, he said. And so obviously there's going to be some bidding on acres. In this part of the world, you have the choice between corn and beans. And frankly, if one of those things were even if it's going to look like you ought to go towards beans, farmers here in the Midwest are sneaky, and you plant some corn regardless. Outlaw said the price picture can significantly change as each of the crop bids for acres heading into the spring. And then if the segment shows farmers are leaning towards planting more soybeans, that will pop up the price of corn during those winter months. Well, when I come back, I got a little bit of a peanut report to give to you guys, and we're going to talk cattle. And talking cattle right now, east of Clinton on I-40, Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction is going on. They had a pretty decent sale Friday. Brandon will send me both reports tonight, and I'll have them tomorrow. But for any of your cattle and for your cattle buying and selling needs, at either Elk City Livestock Auction or Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, call Mr. Brandon Hickey. He'll take care of you. And he should be coming in the studio here this week or next week. So We'll get his lowdown on what he thinks the cattle market's doing. And I got a segment coming up here this hour on wheat pastures. Looking good around the listening area from Hobart to Mangum all the way up into Roger Mills County and Arnett. We got some really good wheat pasture going. I've seen some really pretty stuff over there in that river bottom there by Clinton the other day. So it's looking pretty good. So stay back and I'll be right back here on Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale at Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Register at lmaauction.com or download the LMA Ringside app. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and we do appreciate it.
Great news, folks. Ron Hayes here to let you know SEI Agritech in Elk City is now your livestock nutrition center dealer. This is better quality feed and minerals for your cattle, horses, sheep, and goats. Plus, at SEI Agritech, you can buy everything from bulk to 50-pound bags. Call or go see SEI Agritech today about your feed and mineral needs. Their number, 580-225-0317. 580-225-0317. Better feed, better results.
We had commercial cattle, and as a commercial producer, you're always looking for a place to buy bulls that are going to work well for your program. And as we struggled to do that, we decided to raise our own. And so we started producing the traits that we were looking for to buy in bulls. Lori White, B&L Red Angus, blredangus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
Benji White, B&L Red Angus, blredangus.com. On Facebook, follow us at B&L Red Angus.
We learned in grade school 1 plus 1 equals 2 and 2 plus 2 equals 4. So what does quality feed equal? Results you can be proud of. It's simple math with a little common sense. Barnes Feed Service in Hobart, Oklahoma has done the math and mixed years of common sense into their feeds so you'll get the results you deserve. And remember, their name ends with service, something they take pride in every day. See their ads in the Penny News and check them out on Facebook.
Every trust is a little bit different. Some of them, those assets may need to grow because they've got to take care of somebody for a lot of years. Sometimes those assets need to maintain or they need to just support a certain lifestyle. There's lots of different objectives for trusts, and what we do is we determine what the objective is for each trust, and then we do our very best to manage the assets in that trust to achieve that objective. I'm Nan Shiblum, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust in Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
68 degrees, wind out of the south, 16 miles an hour, 22 mile an hour gusts. A little preview of what coming up. Looks like the weather's going to be really decent for the next few weeks. And then coming up 2 weeks from Saturday, this past Saturday, it's going to cool off, but it doesn't look like it's just going to get cold. We're talking 60s for a high, so that'll be nice, but that's just a little sneak preview of the next couple of weeks coming up. But as always, on Monday, I have some Texas and Oklahoma weekly livestock auction summaries. And this is for my friends out there in the Eastern Panhandle. Compared to last week, feeder steers and heifers sold steady to $2 higher. Trade activity was moderate or on moderate to good demand. Last week there was 6,927 total receipts on cattle purchased compared to 6,242 the week before, 6,903 head this time last year. Feeder cattle took up 87% of the receipts sold. Slaughter cattle was 11% and replacement cattle was a little over 1%. Steers was, let's go with the 389 weight. They were, average price was $1.84.43. Some of them were selling up as high as $1.92 a pound. There was 100 a head sold, 100 average, 470 weight, was bringing $1.72.83, and some of them in that weight range were bringing up to $1.80. There was 108 at the 615 range, bringing $1.58 is the highest one, but they averaged $1.5170 at 615 weight. 677 average weight, $1.48 was the high range, but the average was 140, and those were unwinged. Then we got some in the 824 average weight. Average was $1.5422. Some of them brought up to $1.5550, and that's on your steers. Compared to last week in Oklahoma, this is Oklahoma. Compared to last week, feeder steers were steady to $2 higher. Feeder heifers sold $1 to $5 higher. Demand was moderate to good. Steer calves were $1 to $5 higher. Heifers were steady to $5. Calves were steady to $5 lower. Demand moderate for calves with most action on longer weaned calves. Cattle futures traded higher. However, once again, we continue the segment steady trade when it comes to the negotiated cattle trade. Box beef prices finally found a bottom and seemed to turn around this week. Several different rain systems moved across the state this past week, and steady temperatures finally in more normal fall temperatures. The fall call season of Bazan is upon us, with several low-dressing lean flesh cows in the mix. Number of cows coming to the market, once again, big at reported auctions. And that was for Oklahoma. Total receipts in Oklahoma last week was 27,591, and that was 28,987 the week before, and this time last year was at 30,003 head. So we're in there. We're a little lower than last week and a little lower than last year, but it's pretty close. Feeder cattle made up for 85% of that, with 23,463 calves selling. Slaughter cattle made up 12% of it, and it was 3,329 cows sold last week at Oklahoma sale barns. Replacement cattle was 799 head, and that was 2.9% of the total receipts from last week. A special note this week, 4,131 cows and bulls sold, with 82% going to packers. Last week, 3,313 head sold, with 76% going to packers. Last year, there was 4,000 head sold, with 64% of them going to the packers. Some of the prices across Oklahoma, looks like they was, let's go with the 320 weight. And they were selling up to 214 a hundredweight. The average price was $1.8783. We got some in the 364 range, selling as high as $211 per hundred. Average price was $187.10. Looks like there was 426 head of steers, averaging 172 head, averaging 426 on the weight, bringing up to $1.93, but $179.09 per hundred weight was their average price. 448 head of 528-pound weight average was bringing up to $1.76, but the average price was $1.6146. There was 123 head that averaged $5.62 on the weight, bringing up to $1.55. But the average price on it was $1.48. And that was the stock market report reported by the USDA last week on receipts in Oklahoma and in Texas. Well, Texas direct hay report, compared to the last report they had, hay prices are still mostly steady, just like they are in Oklahoma, with prices firming up on high-quality hay. Trading activity and demand was moderate. There's still a lot of off-grade hay on the market due to excessive moisture during the growing season. As a result, there's a larger gap in the pricing between high-quality hay and low-quality hay. Sorghum and corn harvest is underway in the Panhandle and North and Central Texas. cotton harvest is about to be underway in the south, and the majority of the state could use rain ahead of winter wheat planting, which some of them's already got it. Some of them's already got their winter wheat up. So I think we're, read 68% complete. Winter wheat planting is done. Here's some prices from the USDA out of Texas for alfalfa premium supreme large squares 3x4s, bringing up to average 300 to 325, and that's delivered. Bermuda grass premium is small squares 280 to 330 a ton. Bermuda grass premium is the really small squares on the per bales deals, $10 to $11 per bale. On that's on the small squares bales. Large round bales of Bermuda grass is bringing anywhere from 120 to 160. Bermuda grass premium, again, large rounds, not the good stuff, $60 to $80 a bale. And small squares, $235 to $275 a ton for the small on the really good stuff. So that's what's happening in Texas on that, on your hay prices out there in the panhandle. Well, peanut farmers are trying to get in and back into the field after weather delays. They need to get back into the field to get the other half harvested. Checking in on the market crisis, China was the biggest buyer last year. China bought about one-third of the peanut exports and was the biggest exporter of all of them. So it's what happened. It's what's going to happen in the upcoming year. Well, nobody really knows. Peanut oil prices have weakened here lately, and China said they wouldn't be buying as much as the previous year. It's also noted that seafarer prices are high, and getting shipping containers are really difficult right now to get to take the peanuts from here to China. Some are reporting this is a major crisis, as many peanut exporters are saying that exports are in jeopardy for the upcoming year. So that was the report for the peanuts from the U.S. peanut deal. Well, when we come back, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about cotton production, and we're going to talk to you about what's going on in the wheat pastures out there right now that is growing for our winter pasture. So hang tight and come back. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, October 8th. 2,216 head were sold. 4 head of steers at 411 brought 183. 7 at 522 brought 155. 14 at 591 brought 140.50. 10 at 615 brought 140. 6 at 675 brought 135.50. 6 at 735 brought 142. 14 head of heifers at 349 brought 149. 3 at 502 brought 134. 5 at 607 brought 133. 23 at 670 brought 127.75. 17 at 724 brought 137.50. 3 at 958 brought 116.50. Butcher cows were 5 to 70. Bred cows 460 to 1375. Butcher bulls 55.50 to 90. Pairs brought 975 to 1375. Elk City Livestock Auction, South Highway 6 in Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey, 580-497-6095.
From sunup till sundown, we know your irrigation equipment needs to be as hardworking as you, because we all know a farmer's job is never done. Valley is your strength in the field. We're the everyman brand. No matter your operational setup, we have the irrigation equipment and technology to move you forward. Valley products are built to last, easy to operate, and ahead of the curve. Durable, reliable, and built tough. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Go down?
Yeah.
Oh, and so we got all kinds of stuff going on. But anyway, if you guys are interested in taking some goat and sheep down there, jump on it. Well, the NAS, the USDA's National Agriculture Statistics Service, has released their October crop reports, and Becky Summer with NAS in Washington says the U.S. cotton production estimate is up 23% from last year's crop. All cotton production is forecast at 18,480-pound bales, down 3% from the previous forecast, but up 23% from 2020. Based on conditions as of October 1st, yields are expected to average 871 pounds per harvested acre, down 24 pounds from the previous forecast, but up to 24 pounds from last year. All cotton area harvested is forecast at 9.92 million acres, unchanged from the previous forecast, but up 20% from 2020. As of October 3rd, 62% of the cotton average was rated in good to excellent condition, compared with 40% at the same time last year. As of October 3rd, 70% of the cotton acreages has open bolls, 11% behind last year and 5% behind the five-year average. 13% of the cotton average has been acreage has been harvested by October 3rd, 3% behind last year and 6% behind the five-year average. Cotton production in Georgia is forecast at 2.25 million bales, up 3% from last year. In Alabama, production is forecast at 755,000 bales, up 3% from 2020. Florida production is expected to total 145,000 bales, 41% above last year. In summary, all cotton production is forecast at 18,480,000 bales, up 23% from last year. So I don't know if you guys heard me, my landlord is looking for a bull. He just needs an average bull. He doesn't need a high-powered bull, but he needs a bull. And I'm going to go to bat for him. He's on Social Security. He needs a. You guys don't need to rape him on his on buying a letting him buy a bull from you. But if you got one that you want to sell or replace for next spring, just give me a shout on the KCO text line at 580-225-9697. He'd appreciate it, and I'll pass your number on to him. Just looking for a black bull, Angus bull preferably, but he's got some older black cows down there, and he needs a bull. So, well, after the driest record in September, on record, sorry, last night, we got what my dad would have called $1 million rain. For producers relying on winter pasture to grow purchased or retained calves, this might been what was needed to give us the prospect at least some of the wheat grazing. And it looks really good around our listening area. Kiowa County, Jackson, Greer, Beckham, Roger Mills, Custer, Worstall, you guys are looking really good with your wheat pasture and rye pasture right now. We were already 40 to 50 days delayed in planting our graze out wheat pastures and 30 days delayed in planting our dual purpose wheat, which will limit our forage production potential this fall. Well, it's got some cool stuff on here that I wanted to read to you, and some of you guys might not have known this. Over the last few weeks, driving across Oklahoma, you could really see who was planting wheat from long distance because of the dust clouds across the horizon. And as you remembered, I've repeated that a couple times in the last one. But many farmers were dusting in wheat as fast as they could ahead of this predicted rain. A week ago, areas of central Oklahoma got rainfalls ranging from 0.3 inches all the way up to 3 or more inches. Producers that have planted ahead of this rain were able to get stands in most of these plantings. If it was not planted before the rain, planting was likely delayed until it was dry enough to get across the fields again. For the prospects of late fall or winter grazing, timing is critical, and any delay can have a large impact on forage production. Our goal should be to stock calves on wheat pastures during the fall and winter so they have 5 pounds of forage dry matter per pound of calf body weight. So for a 500-pound calf, our goal is to have for him 2,500 pounds of forage dry matter available at turnout. This forage allows will maximize steer weight gains during the fall and winter grazing period. Lower forage allowances are associated with lower performance, but even at 3 to 3.5 pounds of forage per pound of steer body weight, we can see gains up to 2 pounds per day. A good rule of thumb is wheat forage has about 200 pounds of dry matter per inch of height. So for 2 acres steer stocking rate, it should be 6 to 8 inches tall when we turn out. If pastures are 4 to 5 inches tall at turnout, we will need 3 acres per steer to meet the goal. We should provide supplemental feed to stretch forage supplies, or we can live with the lower calf performance. So, what are our chances to get any pasture this fall or winter? Dr. Carver conducted research several years ago indicating the wheat growth averages 3.3 pounds per acre growing per growing degree day through the fall. A growing degree day is accumulated heat units above a growth threshold temperature of 42 degrees for wheat and is calculated by the average daily temperature, 42 times the number of days. Wheat that was up before the latest rain has the potential to reach 1,000 pounds of forage dry matter per acre by Thanksgiving if we have normal average daily temperatures for the rest of the month. And what I've seen in the real long forecast, for what it's worth, we should be just fine. By Thanksgiving, there'll be people turning out calves everywhere, the whole nine yards. Wheat that was dusted in ahead of these storms will probably be delayed or have less forage production by a week or 10 days, depending on when it comes up and starts actively growing. Prospects for wheat acres that were not planted and were relying on these storms to allow planting in the ideal soil moisture conditions are completely at the mercy of when tractors will be able to roll across these fields. So it's looking pretty good in our neighborhood as far as I'm concerned. There's some wheat around, I've seen around Canute. I mean, I know they're not going to, but looks like you could turn out on it already. So I need to go find out what kind that is. That's pretty good. Well, I'm going to start talking a little bit about my beef cattle today because there's all kinds of stuff going on with beef cattle. It's a going thing right now. Here's one of the hot topics. What about plant-based protein? Will it threaten our beef market in the coming years? Whenever you go, beef producers are focused on that question, and it's a critical topic deserving some broader perspective. This is some serious stuff going on here, guys, so listen up. I mean, I know you think this doesn't matter, but from that one report that I'm going to touch on Wednesday, because it's a little long for today's show, it's showing that there's already 19 plants in Oklahoma, or not in Oklahoma, but in the United States already producing this artificial beef. So it's coming. The alternative meat sector has been especially good at garnering headlines. That reality was on full display when Burger King announced it would be selling the Impossible Whopper. Advocates for the meat substitutes are especially good at hyping forecasts over the next decade. However, it's difficult to get a handle on the true size of the alternative beef business. The best insight is derived from the recent IRI data and analyst report by Annie Marie. She, for example, retail sales of refrigerated plant-based proteins during the first half of 2021 equaled $249 million. That's up 7.2% from 2020. But considered first half meat sales generated $40 billion at retail, that's 160 times more versus alternative meats. Sales are starting to plateau in Q2 is in terms of both dollars and volume, and the sector is being challenged by declining pricing power. Most notably, more product was sold on promotion in July versus last year, 40.4% versus 31.8%. Then there was this enterprise perspective, the best view through the lens of Beyond Market. The company went public in 2019 amongst lots of excitement. The stock price skyrocketed out of the gate. However, stock valuation has been relatively flat for the last 15 months or so. That's because the company has failed to generate any profit. While revenue has surged, the losses continue to mount. During the past 5 years, BYND hasn't been profitable, with cash burn accelerating and net loss totaling roughly $150 million since 2016. Several years ago, Ethan Brown noted that his 5-year goal was to underprice animal protein in at least one product category. That's a lofty goal, given how tough and unforgiving the food business can be. And clearly the trend is in their favor. So despite all the talk about sustainability in the alternative meat sector, it's clear that they've yet established a sustainable business model. There are several key lessons here. One that seems lots of anguish about the plant-based protein out there. It's something to be monitored, but much of the worry is overdone. Two, the competition in the protein space is always formidable. For instance, consider that ever-growing prevalence of the dairy products that serve as meat substitutes. Instead of hamburger for lunch, you run to the convenience stores and pick up your snack bar and yogurt. That should have been Snicker bar, not snack bar. But anyway, that's my thinking anyway. That brings up the most important takeaway. The beef industry has staged an incredible turnaround during the past 20 years because of concentrated focus on the consumer. Beef demand has remained solid because of the industrial's emphasis on improving quality and consistency during that time. It's easy to get caught up in all that noise on the internal battles or worry about the next competitor coming down the pike. But those are the distractions from what really matters and the consumer demand. If the industry can stay focused on that, everything will take care of itself. Issue that I have that report's very accurate, and this is that came from the Drovers Cattle Network. The issue I have with it is you guys hear this stuff from our present administration about how they want to go get rid of the greenhouse gases and stuff. And even though cattle causes very few percentage of raising cattle, harvesting corn and soybeans and all the food that we do, hay for cattle, it's still way low percentage, but they're going to pick on the easiest thing first. And ranchers and farmers are one of those people, or some of those people that they're going to pick on to get rid of those greenhouse gases. Well, the report I haven't seen yet and that I cannot find is what percentage of this greenhouse gas is these alternative meat products causing right now. There's 19 plants in the United States. That don't sound like a lot, but, you know, there's four major packer plants for regular beef in the United States, so that don't sound like a much, but it is when you're supplying food for the whole United States and for exports. I need to find out what greenhouse gases are caused by these protein, because they've got this artificial meat. They got to grow the vegetables. They put off gases. The power to do that, electrical power on that end of the plants. I mean, there's a never-ending deal, but with the mindset of some people in the United States right now, and they're wanting to get a hold, and I'm not talking about AOC either, you know, we got to keep an eye on it because it can turn on us, dude. This is a crazy world we live in right now. But in Denmark, according to a scientist at the Danish Technological Institute, there are still unresolved issues regarding the mass production of artificial meat. Taste and environmental issues are also still open. A mixture of plant products and in vitro meat could open up a new consumer groups, according to the industrial experts. But they do not, the Danish researchers said, they do not expect virtual meat to gain market acceptance anytime soon, according to their analysts. The scientists point out that it has yet not been possible to produce artificial muscle structures that are thicker than 1 millimeter. This means that it's not possible for the time being to produce steaks or roasts, for example. The Institute's report makes that very clear. At the same time, there are no approaches yet to grow fat and connective tissue at the same time, which would be crucial for natural-looking and tasting artificial products. Lack of information on these environmental impacts. Here we go. According to the DTI scientists, there's still a lack of reliable assessments on the environmental impact of in vitro meat production. It is often claimed that the technology saves resources. However, the scientific evidence for that is so far limited. The technology behind meat from the Petri dish is still very immature, and it's therefore rather unlikely that artificial meat will develop into a serious alternative to the conventional meat products made here in the United States in the near future. DTI experts for process engineering and food technology, but if the industry can solve these problems, there is a real chance for an alternative to products from conventional meat products. Meanwhile, industry experts see a combination of vegan meat substitutes into vetro meat as a possible future for artificial meat as a regulatory approved food, according to a recent report by the foodnavigator.com. The main arguments in favor of such hybrid products is their taste. According to the experts, the taste is much closer to the animal original compared to pure plant-based foods. As plant fat replaces animal fat in the product from a sensory point of view, and this enables a taste experience that comes very close to real meat. Whatever. However, it's not that only the taste, but it's also the appearance, the texture, and the aroma. This could make such a mixed product an alternative not only for vegans and vegetarians, but for also meat eaters. Well, when we come back, I'm going to finish up the show with the Long Ranger and a few words about some cattle beef supplements. You're listening to Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
Hi, I'm James with Western Equipment. Listen up, any high school junior and senior, and any parent or grandparent of any high school junior or senior. By your junior and senior year, it's time to start planning for a job. Right now, if you don't know what you want to do, check out the John Deere AgTech program through Western Equipment. It's a two-year program, and afterwards, we guarantee you a solid job at one of our 21 locations in Texas, Oklahoma, or New Mexico. Now is the time. Visit west-equip.com/careers for more information to apply.
This is Jerry Nunn, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. First sale last Tuesday, October 12th, we sold 858 cows, bulls, and calves. Thursday, October 14th, we sold 2,640 calves and feeders for a total of 3,498 cattle for the week. Tuesday, better killing cows bring 64.5 to 75.50, with the thin cows bringing 40 to 62.5. Bulls bring 70 up to 85. 2 to 4 year old bred cows, 1,000 up to 1,500, with their 5 to 8 year old bred cows, 800 to 1,275. 9 and older bred cows, 735 to 1,150. 2 to 8 year old pairs, 1,350 to 1,550. Feeders, steers, and heifers, steady to 4 higher. Steer calves, 3 to 5 higher. Honor steer cattle, 3 to 350 weight steers, 180 to 210. 4 to 450, 160 to 179. 5 to 550, 151 to 166. 6 to 650, 139 to 161. 7 to 750, 140 to 158. 8 to 850, 151 to 156.75. 9 to 950 steers, 145 to 153.75. And 21 years weighing 1,141. Hunter heifers, 350 to 4 weight heifers, 154 to 161. 4 to 450, 132 to 146.5. 5 to 550, 133 to 149. 6 to 650, 132 to 145. 7 to 750, 130 to 144. 8 to 850, 125.5 to 130. And our 9 to 950 heifers, 127 to 132. For this Tuesday, October 19th, we will have 160 bred cows and a few pairs off of them. We got 40 other bred cows and pairs. More by sale time. We'll see you this Tuesday, 8 a.m. sharp. Thanks again, Jerry Nine, and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
It's so convenient for farmers and ranchers to get what you need in one place. The Wheeler General Store is the do-it-best hardware store that carries vet supplies to doctor your animals, high-pro feed, also master hand milling and smart lick tubs. Delivery is available if you need it. And at Wheeler Ag, right there on site, they've got dry fertilizer application with blending capabilities. Wheeler General Store and Wheeler Ag on Highway 152, a mile east of the four-way stop in Wheeler, Texas.
You can also find the Wheeler General Store on Facebook and Instagram.
This hour's weather is brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Complete nutrition for every animal. That's what you'll find at High Pro Feeds. At High Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local High Pro Feeds dealer, providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, and sacks. Check them out on Facebook and online at hobartfarmandgarden.com.
Today in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
I'm back. What's happening? 70 degrees right now. Nathan Brewer, dew points 42. Winds are south out of the 19 miles an hour. Gust up to 24. And here is your Hobart Farm and Garden forecast. Long Ranger, next 5 days anyway, this week. Today, high 75. We're getting there. Tomorrow, high of 80 with winds south out of 15 to 20 miles an hour. Low tonight and tomorrow evening is going to be in the 51 degrees range. Wednesday, 74 for a high with winds northwest, north 9 to 12 miles an hour. It's going to get a little chilly Wednesday night, 44 degrees. Thursday, 73 degrees for a high. Thursday night, 48, partly cloudy. And Friday looks like it's going to be mostly sunny and 76 degrees. So it looks like we got a pretty decent week. It's going to be windy today, tomorrow, and then out of the north Wednesday. But after that, looks pretty good. So anyway, that's your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. Well, I love positive stories, and this one I caught it, and they got this is coming from the Cattle Raisers Convention and Expo that happened this summer. But it's a really nice story that I want to share with you guys, and it comes from the Cattle Facts CEO Randy Blanche. He shared a message to the crowd that they longed to hear. There are better times ahead, he says. The industrial leading market expert said cattle prices are expected to trend higher well into 2024. And if you look at the chart on cattle prices, you know, they peaked way high back there in 2014, 2015. I remember I was getting $1,000, $1,100 for 350-pound calves. It was great. But he said, you will see the markets start to transition. We should see improved industrial profitability, which is really needed, particularly back for our cow, calf, and stocker operators. That's us. That's out here in Oklahoma. That's us, buddy. A look at the supply and demand picture explains the increase. Randy said the nation's cattle inventory will be tight for at least the next 4 years. Severe drought in the western and northern United States in the northern plains is a cause for herd liquidation, and there are fewer fed cattle numbers as the industry recovers from the 2020 backup supplies. At the same time, overall beef demand is at an encouraging 33-year high. In the last 20 years, we've seen significant growth in beef demand. It's added $240 per head to the value of cattle. Why? We started listening to why? He says, I remember a gentleman up here in Roger Mills County that I know really good. He does the Jimmy and Jimmy show with me, said this exact same thing. We started listening to the consumer. Answering the call for higher quality and consistent beef products, ranchers have made tremendous strides in genetic improvement and overall carcass quality. Prime and choice supplies have since increased 60%. He said, as a result, the beef industry gained 8% market share of total spending from pork and poultry. Total meat spending was $263 billion in 2020. This shows U.S. consumers and customers around the world are responding with their pocketbooks and are hungrier than ever for high-quality U.S. beef. Don't forget why you are here, Randy told the audience of cattle raisers. The work you do really does matter, and it has a huge impact on the business as we're doing it down the road. Supply shifts. To say the past 2 years has been challenging would be an understatement. He said for the cattle business, it goes back to August 2019 when a fire at the Tyson plant in Holcomb, Kansas set processing back for several months. Then came COVID-19. Around 1 million head of cattle were left in the waiting because of processing complications caused by the global pandemic. We've also made the cycle lows in the spring of 2020, conceiving with the COVID-19 and the worst of that situation, Randy said. More than a year later, The bottleneck in the supply chain is just beginning to subside. So, according to the USDA, inventories are down 1.3%, and he forecasted to be down 4% by the end of this month. So, good news. Keep making those consumers happy. That's who we need. Better quality, better beef. Talk to you guys tomorrow. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO. Have a great Monday, and God bless.
This is KECO, Elk City.